We took over-unders this morning on how many people we'd have. I went with 12. And so wow, there's a few more of you here than that. It's 7 degrees. You are to be commended. I'm thinking of Zacchaeus scrambling up the tree to see our Lord. You have done that this day. So congratulations. Glad you're here. It's the end of 2017. We're headed into 2018. So just to see whether you were awake during this past year, little quiz, okay? What was the name of the hurricane that hit the Houston area? Harvey? Good. The name of the hurricane that hit the Caribbean and the Florida Keys? Irma? I think I heard that. The one that hit Puerto Rico? Maria, right? Okay. That's still terrible devastation there. Okay, so we had a total solar eclipse in August. A rare event of the orbits. When will that happen again? Here in the Midwest, anyway? 2024, so keep your glasses. Don't throw those away. Who was the 2017 NBA champion? Warriors. They defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers. They've played each of the last 3 years for the championship. Who won the Super Bowl in 2017? Patriots. Huge comeback against the Falcons. I hate the Patriots. The World Series in 2017. Who won? Houston Astros defeated the Dodgers. 7 games. Good for them. They had a hurricane. They won a World Series. I'm not sure that balances. If you're a movie buff, what won the Academy Award for Best Picture in 2017? Moonlight, that's right. You remember there's a huge hubbub. They announced the wrong, they grouped that La La Land had won. That they came up, and then they said, no, wrong. I don't know what happened there, but it was Moonlight. Who won the Grammy Award in 2017 for Album of the Year? Adele. I think she's won every year the past 10 years or something. Okay, last bit of the quiz here. See if you are paying attention to what's going on in the world of fast food. Okay? Fast food trends. Which fast food chain introduced what they call sweet chicken tenders with a batter made from cookies? You missed this one? Popeyes. So go out and get Popeyes. Sweet chicken tenders, right? Coated in cookies. Which fast food chain introduced the Lucky Charms shake? Burger King. Some of you have had that, so you just didn't want to be embarrassed. Which fast food chain introduced the Firecracker Burrito, a burrito filled with Pop Rocks candy? You got to know this one. Taco Bell, right. Oh, Taco Bell. By the way, Taco Bell also introduced this past year the Naked Egg Taco, where the egg is the taco, and also the Kit Kat Quesadilla. So just lots of creativity going on at Taco Bell. It's not good for your GI tract, but it's inventive. Okay, so lots of stuff is behind us. We're headed out into a new year, of course. This week, the week between Christmas and New Year's Day is always a good work week for me. It feels reflective. I tend to think about the past year, what worked, what went okay, and what didn't. I look back so that I can try to remember the joyful moments and also the hard and more difficult ones. Of course, I begin to think about the coming year. People who talk about the importance of goal setting talk about how important it is to literally write your goals down. Sometimes I do that. I do keep a journal where I write about things I hope to get done or things I want to learn in the coming year. I'm kind of a sucker for the year-end cultural reviews. I like news stories about the year in sports, about the year in music and movies and books. I also love those stories about trends and forecasts for what's coming up in the next year, business mergers, advances in technology and software, new products and gadgets and economic forecasts. I love all that stuff. And between my work as a pastor and my friendships, I do my best to know what's going on in the lives of people that I know and care about. I know people who are retiring, people who are thinking about career changes. I know people with serious health challenges right now. I know people who are struggling with loneliness and depression. I know people who are going through a difficult time of divorce. I know people who are excited about their children's future and others who are worried. I know people who are bored, and I know people who are living intensely in the moment, serving others and using their gifts. I know people who are struggling financially, and I know people who've got plenty of money. Now, of course, we never get any guarantees about what the new year will bring. I'm old enough to realize that not everything's going to go my way in 2018. I know that it's unlikely that I'll win the lottery, or that despite my rigorous workout regime, I know it's unlikely that my body fat percentage will return to what it was when I was 18. Though it's close, it's really close. But what I really, really need, what I want as we head into a new year is a fresh perspective. I need a new lens, a new filter, so that I can see the whole world and so I can see my life in a fresh way. I need a vision that can hold everything together in all its complexity, the ups and the downs that a new year always brings to all of us. Both of our readings today offer us wise and wonderful guidance for how we can move deeper into God's good news as we head out into this new year. According to Galatians, we can begin to live in a new way because at the right time, at just the right time, God sent his Son into the world. What that means for you and for me is that we have been redeemed from living like slaves who obey the laws. Now we can begin to live together like God's new adopted family. Before we heard this good news, we were prisoners to a perspective that organizes the world with all sorts of labels and categories. Paul's audience, the Galatians, they use labels, ethnic labels like Jew and Greek, gender labels like male and female, economic labels like slave and free. But we're not that much different. Our lives can easily become captured by this need to sort of organize everything in terms of categories and stereotypes. We slavishly organize life in terms of pairs like black and white, educated and uneducated, clean and dirty, urban and rural, Republican and Democrat, religious or secular, straight and gay, white collar, blue collar, married, single. You could probably give me other pairs and stereotypes that we use to organize the world. But Paul's point, the good news, according to Paul, is that none of these pairs, none of these labels or stereotypes can organize our lives now that we're part of God's new adopted family in Jesus Christ. We've been freed from this obsession with stereotyping and categorizing. Now we can begin to see other people in all their wonderful, messy complexity. We can discard our labels and our categories and simply relate to other people as God's beloved children, adopted into the family just as we have been. And in that new perspective, everything begins to change for us. We begin to celebrate all the different ways that we are connected to other people, even people that might look on the surface very different from us. Speaking of connections, I love Psalm 148. It's a celebration of how connected we are to everything else. Near the end of Israel's prayer book, we get a rollicking anthem, an explosive expression of praise to God that sounds from every corner of the created world, from the darkest bottom of the seas to the furthest reaches of outer space. It's as if the entire universe has become a choir. The song begins with the multitude of angels, those bizarre creatures designed exclusively to praise God. And then the sun, the moon, and the stars join in the angels singing. Now, we don't always pay attention to what's going on in the heavens, but this past August we did with that total solar eclipse. We put on our funny-looking glasses to keep us from burning our eyeballs. We watched as the sun crept slowly behind the moon, creating this weird, luscious, and kind of eerie atmosphere. But I think the psalmist would have characterized that day as sun and moon dancing and laughing together, as they joined the angelic choir singing God's praise. Everywhere the psalmist looks, all the different kinds of reality that he can imagine is singing with voices God's full-throated praise. The giant squid from the deep and the blind shrimp down in the darkness of the Marianas Trench. The whales and the sharks and the swordfish and all the myriad life forms that make the watery deeps their home. Then the weather begins to sing. Wildfires, snow, frost, wind, and rain. The tallest mountains on earth begin their singing. Chains of mountains in Nepal, China, Pakistan, and India. Like Everest, K2, Kangchenjunga, Lhotse, Makalu, Cho'oyu, Dalagiri, Manaslu, Nango, Parbat, and Annapurna. I can use Wikipedia. Those are the tallest peaks in the Himalayan chains. And not just the Himalayans, but our little Rockies too. Not quite as impressive, but they sing as well. And so do the more nearby bluffs and hills for those of us here in the plains. And if the psalmist lived in our day of awe-inspiring architecture, perhaps he would have included the monstrous looming structures of our built environment in the choir. The Burj Khalifa in Dubai, the Shanghai Tower, the Abraj Al Bray Tower in Mecca, the Ping An Finance Center in Shenzhen, the Lotte World Tower in Seoul, all those buildings even taller than our One World Trade Center in New York. And along with mountains and buildings, the trees join in. Hickory, maple, ash, birch, and cottonwood, oaks, elms, maples, sycamores, redwood, cedar, pine, spruce, and tulip, pecan and walnut, cherry blossom and aspen, peach, orange, and apple trees, all offering their energetic praise that comes from all the way down deep in the roots, out through their leaves, reaching towards the sun. And then every wild animal, and all the livestock everywhere, and our dogs and cats too, and Laura, I suppose, even our guinea pigs, all begin to sing in the choir. Every creepy crawly thing too, every bug and spider and caterpillar and slug and beetle, the tarantula and the ladybug, arm in arm, they're singing small, but as heartfelt as yours or mine. The birds already know how to sing, but now they're glad to know they have company. Blue jays and orioles and cardinals and hawks and crows and pheasants and finches and storks and cranes and woodpeckers. And of course, those flamboyant flamingos and the strutting peacocks. And finally, after many rounds of raucous singing, we human creatures finally awaken from our stupor and break forth into song. The kings of the earth, the rulers and the rich who live in splendor, and their voices joined by all the rest of us poor and unimportant from places that are overlooked, billions and billions of people of every color and every religion singing together, women and men, young and old. And all of creation, in the psalmist's vision, all of creation, every fiber of it, down to its cellular structure and out into the intergalactic space warped by the gravity of black holes and dark matter, all of it one gigantic, effusive chorus of praise. A creation-wide thunder of praise to the loving source and giver of all that exists, every single thing. Ringing and vibrating in its own unique way, harmonizing perfectly with the rest of the rushing sound. Now, I began by telling you that what I need as we head into this new year is a fresh perspective, a new way of seeing everything. And the psalmist's wild song has stimulated my imagination, maybe yours too. I can begin to imagine my place in the weave of all things. I can begin to imagine the joy of being one little node in a vast network that runs into the deep and up the highest mountains and out into the stars. And I am as important as the world's most powerful rulers in this choir, and I am as simple as the poorest peasant you could find in the developing world. My voice is no less a part of this song than is the voice of the archangels, and it is no more important than whatever praise it is that the roly-poly can muster. And we are all of us in this thing together. We are all the beloved and adopted children of the God who draws near to us in the life of Jesus Christ and in the Spirit that's been poured out upon us. So now you might ask, what exactly does all that do for my plans for the coming year? What does it change? What does it shift about how I receive the coming year, about how I organize my priorities and goals for 2018? Well, when we begin to think about moving out ahead and what we want to accomplish in 2018, we might think that personal renewal depends on a deeper and more intense focus on ourselves. That's natural. It's kind of self-helpy. But what our readings offer us today is something striking and unexpected. They offer us a way of enlarging ourselves, enlarging our perspective. They expand the borders of who we are by asking us to imagine ourselves woven into a great tapestry with the rest of what God has made. And in this new way of seeing, in this new perspective, what will provide us the most good energy and the most hope in the coming year is not an obsession, a fixation on our own little unique circumstances, though we all have them, right? But instead, a fresh awareness of our own small place in this great and wonderful thundering chorus of praise. Like the angels, we too are God's creatures. Like the stars and the sea monsters, like the whales and the whippoorwills, like the mountains and skyward reaching buildings, like the trees and bugs and birds, like every other human person, the strong-bodied and the weak, the healthy and the sick, the able-bodied and the disabled, the sharp-minded and the mentally challenged, those in the prime of life, those just born or those nearing the end of life, like all these others, we too are little creatures whose primary light is to sing with joyful praise that we exist at all and that we have been lovingly, wonderfully made and that we have been showered with all kinds of gifts and blessings in Jesus Christ. That song is the underground stream that runs beneath everything and everyone. Now, I admit this new perspective offered by the psalmist and by Paul might not help us lose 10 pounds, and it might not help you get that promotion at work, but it might do something even bigger and better. It might throw open the doors of our hearts, allowing us to experience our own lives as meaningful and valuable and purposeful simply because we are part of this vast and interconnected web of creation that God loves and in which God takes delight. I begin to see that my life and my well-being are connected to everything else and everyone else, and so I can begin to loosen my grip on the conflicted, competitive vision of winning and getting and achieving and accumulating. I can dwell in a vision of justice and peace, and my deepest desires are to flourish in the midst of all other created things that God loves as well. I would never be so foolish as to try to predict what the coming year will bring, but my prayer for us this morning is that God will convert our imaginations and our outlook so that we can see the world as God's beloved children singing together in a great choir. Amen.